Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right. Talk about the Baseball Hall of Fame in a little bit here. But now we go to Philadelphia and Johnny Marks, 93.7 Sports Radio in Philadelphia, to join us now. And if there's any more entertaining media market or team in America than the Eagles right now, well, all right, Johnny, maybe the Jets.
Yeah, the Jets have different ones, right? At least we know now in Philadelphia with our football team that we're going forward with the new coach. The Jets, they actually think it's going to work with their current football coach. But certainly this offseason, a lot to talk about, right?
A lot to talk about. Now, Andy Reid goes, and he's in Kansas City now. Right. The name Lovie Smith surfaces today. Now, when you make a hire or a free agent signing, you want the populace to be excited as the franchise.
Right.
When Lovie Smith's name comes up, as fine a coach as he is, does that excite the populace?
No, I don't think so. Well, you know, we talked about it today. I just got off the air, and there are some people that were saying that he's a good candidate. You know, after 14 years of Andy Reid, and he was a very good coach, he didn't get over the top, and I feel like the Lovie Smith is Andy Reid, but on the defensive side of the ball. You know, didn't win the big games, got to a Super Bowl, a lot of times underachieved, just couldn't get the offense together in his entire tenure there. This is an offensive league right now, and I'm okay with bringing in a defensive head coach, but based on what I've seen with Lovie Smith, he's had trouble getting that offense together. So I wouldn't think that Lovie Smith would be a good candidate to bring in here. It seems like Jeffrey Lurie, the owner of the Eagles, is looking to bring in a younger coach, somebody like when he hired Andy Reid 14 years ago, that was maybe under the radar. Remember, he was their fifth choice to be their head coach. They didn't go out and say, this is the guy we want. He wasn't even a coordinator, Andy Reid. He was a quarterback's coach with Green Bay. So it's very possible that a guy that's under the radar, that might not be the sexy pick, that's not the John Gruden or the Bill Cowher, there might be an under-the-radar guy that's actually the best pick out there.
All right, what other names are you hearing besides Lovie Smith? Because the landscape has changed dramatically. Bill O'Brien staying at Penn State. Chip Kelly staying, obviously, at Oregon.
Yeah.
Now Lovie Smith's name surfaced. Other names, as Mike. What about Mike McCoy? What about Greg Roman at San Francisco?
Mike McCoy was interviewed by the Eagles over the weekend, and it was a short interview. If you remember, Chip Kelly, the guy, they met for 9 hours. They wined and dined him for lunch and then dinner, and then it was like a late-night snack. And then he said, all right, I'm going back to Oregon. Mike McCoy got interviewed either the next day or the day after that. So with them being in the playoffs right now, it's just like my feel on it. I don't know if he interviewed very well. I don't know if he's going to be a choice at the Broncos if and when the Broncos are out of the playoffs. The other guys that you're talking about right now are kind of the hot names out there, the hot coordinators. The Gus Bradleys of the world. Mike McCoy was the guy that they already interviewed. You haven't heard Roman's name, but I'm sure he's a guy that would be, that you would interview if and when. So we'll see. I mean, this is what we've heard so far with the Eagles. And I'm not going to say that it's the end of the world, but their short list to start, if you listen to all the experts out there, were Chip Kelly, Bill O'Brien, and Doug Marrone. Doug Marrone didn't get a chance to interview with the Eagles because they were so busy whining Chip Kelly that they never got a chance to interview him, and he went with the Bills. So right now the Eagles are 0-3, and they got that last strikeout by looking, but not even having a chance to interview Doug Marrone because you were so infatuated with Chip Kelly. There are still quality guys out there. I would say a Gus Bradley, even though he's on the defensive side of the ball, is a Philadelphia-type guy. He's fiery. He has a good defense. A Mike McCoy, if you look what he's done developing quarterbacks, when he was with Carolina, he helped to develop Jake Delhomme into a Super Bowl, at least, appearance quarterback. Kyle Orton had his best year as a career when he went to Denver and he played for Mike McCoy. And then Tim Tebow, he kind of crafted his offense. He said, all right, I got a guy that can't throw. I'm not going to run the same offense that I'm going to run with a guy that can throw. He was 8-5 as a starter. So I think right there you have a couple really serious candidates. But this is what I have to say, guys. Why isn't John Gruden being contacted here? We had Ron Jaworski on our air a couple days ago, and he said that he's talked to Gruden, and they haven't even contacted John or contacted him at all. So, I mean, that's kind of crazy to me that they would haven't even reached out for a conversation.
Would John Gruden excite the populace?
Yes. Well, I'll tell you what, it would give it a lot of buzz. There are a lot of people, and we've been taking phone calls about this for weeks now with John Gruden. A lot of people think that he's a has-been. A lot of people say, oh, well, you know, he won with Tony Dungy's players, and then look what happened to that franchise, which is true. He did win with Tony Dungy's players, but he also got them over the top to where Tony Dungy really couldn't, and that was the element that they needed. Eagles aren't there right now. The Eagles are in kind of a rebuilding mode, but in the NFL these days, you're never really in a rebuilding mode. You can kind of retool and get right back into it. I want a guy that's going to come in here, and I want to feel like our coach is going to out-coach the other guy every single week. And I feel like with John Gruden, while he's volatile and while you may have some ups and downs, and the players might end up hating him after 4 or 5 years, that he would give me the best chance to win on a Sunday than anybody else that's out there.
John, what, if anything, went wrong with Chip Kelly? I mean, supposedly they talked to him for 9 hours.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what didn't go wrong, which was money, because also some reports out there that they were offering in the neighborhood of $8 million a year for Chip Kelly, which is Bill Belichick money. It's almost like they dodged the bullet, if you ask me, with Chip Kelly. I mean, he's certainly a great college coach. Does that translate to the NFL? Not so sure. You know, defenses are a lot faster. If you don't have the personnel to do what you want, can you really make it succeed? Now, what a lot of people are saying, where it went wrong, was that Chip Kelly wanted a lot of control in getting his own players. He wanted some personnel control. He said, listen, if you want me to do what I do, I need to be able to pick my players. So maybe that meant that their Nick Foles wouldn't have worked, because Nick Foles isn't like a Chip Kelly quarterback. And maybe the Eagles were like, well, you know, we're not going to get rid of our quarterback just because you want this. So I think it was a couple different things. It was Chip maybe didn't feel like it was the right time. The Eagles weren't ready to give him full control over things. But it certainly wasn't money. And if it was any team he was going to go to, it would have been the Eagles, because he didn't want to go to the Browns. So I think he was tempted. I think he liked being wined and dined, but ultimately Chip just went back to Oregon. I think he was more comfortable with it.
All right, so moving forward, you mentioned Nick Foles. You watched him, and it's only a cameo. Was the cameo enough to convince you that he has some long-term feel for Philadelphia or not?
Well, I mean, I'm not convinced either way, and I think that it's really difficult. I went back and I looked at some quarterbacks over the course of time. Joe Montana, who wasn't a first-round pick, Troy Aikman, who was the first overall draft pick, and Donovan McNabb, actually, who was the Eagles draft pick in 1999, second overall. And you look at their first year. Nick Foles is a third-round draft pick. Third-round draft picks, Russell Wilson aside, who's having an unbelievable season, aren't expected to come in and compete and play like their pants are on fire in their first year, right? Normally there's some growing pains. And if you look at Aikman and you look at Donovan McNabb, look at Joe Montana, they struggled in their first year. I mean, Aikman's completion percentage was like 53%. Donovan McNabb, who went on to be a Pro Bowl quarterback and was the second pick in the draft, was 46% completion percentage. So what Nick Foles did this year tells me that he has the tools and he has the capability to be a good starting quarterback in this league. A franchise-type quarterback? I'm not so sure, but he certainly has the ability to do that. Everything that Nick Foles showed you this year, I'll say this, they showed you enough to give him the keys to the franchise next year and see what he can do. Is he going to take the Eagles to a Super Bowl? I'm not so sure about that, but he's earned another year.
All right, earned another year. It's a little quiet on the Phillies front right now, but spring training is actually only going to be about 5 or 6 weeks away. Is anybody in that town talking about anything other than the Eagles right now?
No. Absolutely not, no. And I'll say this, at the last 4 weeks of the season when the Eagles were dead, we actually got into some hot stove stuff. There was a lot going on. They got Michael Young in the trade. There was rumors of Hamilton being available out there. Maybe the Phillies were going to try to slide in and get there. But officially now, it's officially Eagles. Once you get into spring training, I don't even know how much we're going to be talking about. The Eagles have a top-five draft pick this year. What are they going to do? They have a lot of big decisions. Is Nnamdi Asomugha going to come back? Is DRC, are they going to franchise him? Are they going to sign him to a new contract? What about DeSean Jackson? Do they want 2 5'9" wide receivers with him and Jeremy Maclin? So this is traditionally an Eagles town. When the Phillies do well, obviously it's a hot ticket here, but this is always going to be football first, and with not a lot of things going on with the Phillies as far as decisions or position battles, I have a feeling this is going to be Eagles all the way to training camp.
I understand that. I think everyone understands that completely. It's just the way it is. It's just the way the town's built.
E-A-G-L-E-S, Eagles.
Exactly.
How exciting is your job right now?
It definitely gives us something to talk about, right? I mean, you guys know this, and the Bill O'Brien, I want a Bill O'Brien. I mean, I really did, and I feel good that he went back to Penn State. Now, let me say this about Bill O'Brien, because he said, I'm not a one-and-done type guy. Well, don't be going out interviewing for jobs every single year, right? If you want to be at Penn State, then stay at Penn State. I know it's nice to be wanted. I know it's flattering to have NFL teams coming after you, but if you're going to come out and say, I'm not a one-and-done guy, I want to be at Penn State, then stay there. Stay there for at least 4 or 5 years. I think with Chip Kelly, you're going to see him flirting with the NFL every single year until the teams are finally like, well, just get out of here. We're tired of you. Right? I mean, next year a team comes calling, he's not going to be looking again. Of course he is.
For you, okay, the NHL lockout's over. I mean, did anybody even care about that? Because obviously the Flyers will sell out every game.
Yeah. Well, I'm excited about it. Just that the Sixers have really, really been a disappointment this year. Andrew Bynum comes to Philadelphia, and you think that you have this big man now, and you're going to be able to compete in the Eastern Conference, and you see the Knicks really explode and do great, and the Eagles and the Sixers don't have Bynum, and they're just, I think they're 6 games under 500 right now. So it's really nice to see the Flyers come back, and you know it's tough. You guys do sports radio up here, up at State College. You know that you need something juicy to talk about. You need like a good topic. And with Flyers, I think on a day-to-day basis, unless something happens in the game, it's kind of hard to talk about and break down the games. Now, we have a goalie here in Philadelphia, Ilya Bryzgalov, that's kind of a space cadet. So he helps things. But I'm pumped up for the Flyers, man. It's going to be a good season. Do they have enough juice? Do they have enough players to compete with the Bostons and the Rangers and some of these other teams? We'll find out. Hockey's a quirky sport.
There really hasn't been a lot of juicy stuff to talk about here for 15
Briz
months.
Has a great Siberian Husky, Steve. Briz has a great Siberian Husky.
I'm sure he does. There's nothing to talk about here, John. No, it's a State College boring market.
Boring? No, you guys, for the last year, you haven't anything to talk about.
No, not a single thing.
All no. 14 months, nothing. Nothing. Just push it all aside.
Nothing. I mean, it's just, you know, Dullsville.
I hear you.
Well, John, thanks so much. Appreciate the time very much. You gave us a lot of interesting insight, and you can now send your intern out for the Lovie Smith watch just to kind of hover around the building and see if he actually shows up or not.
Guys, a pleasure to be on whenever you need me. Please, it's my honor.
Johnny Marks, 93.7. See, now you love that. So there was meat in there.
Oh,
you
yeah.
love hearing the rumors.
I love it. I love the dirt.
You love dirt. You love the meat.
Dirt.
Right? Just laying out there on the road after you just hit it.
It's Lovie Watch.
Huh?
The Lovie Watch.
Look, Lovie Smith would be a great hire in Philadelphia if they hire an offensive coordinator to match him. And he turns the offense over completely to that individual. Okay? The guy is a player's coach.
Sure.
He does not yell. He does not scream. He does not go overboard. He's very level-headed. And a lot of people have great respect for Lovie Smith. I've never met him, but from the outside looking in, I respect what he has done.
And I think it's safe to say he's had some success. Maybe not humongous success, but success.
But if you're going to go with an offensive mind, I think you take a long, hard look at Mike McCoy. He's the Broncos offensive coordinator for the Uninitiated.
Sure, sure.
And he did a great job at Carolina with Jake Delhomme. He did a great job Kyle Orton did very well in Denver with him as the coordinator, and he had to prepare 2 game plans every week when he had to go through the Orton-Tebow debacle. I have a lot of respect for somebody who was forced to do something like that.
You know, if you look at the former coaches that are out there right now that have been removed from their position,
yeah,
there are very few that are still available that have had significant success. And you need somebody in Philadelphia that is either brand new or has had some significant success. I don't think you can't bring somebody in that and I'm just pulling a name out, you can't bring in a guy like Norv Turner and say, you know what, this is the guy Philadelphia needs. Well, okay, why? Because he wasn't that successful in San Diego.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think you have to look off the beaten path, as it were, or you have to you know, look outside the box here.
Right. Well, you do, you know, but you have to take a long look at it. But again, I don't think you have to look off the beaten path. I think what you need to do is take a long look at what your needs are. Okay? And then, after that, figure out what direction you want to go in with these guys. And that direction might very well be, okay, an offensive mind like Mike McCoy. Okay? Or you may want to go with somebody who is an organizer in Mike McCoy. Levy Smith's the organizer, McCoy's the offensive mind. So I think that's just some things you got to look at there. Well, we'll come back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK after this.
While your favorite team is driving down the field, you're driving all around looking for a new car, which is driving you crazy. Well, Sunbury Motors makes buying a new car easy with a huge inventory and lots of choices. Our North 4th Street Auto Plaza is stocked full of Ford, Lincoln, and Hyundais. We sell over a couple hundred cars a month. Why? Service and price. With our lowest price promise, if you can find a better price and another dealer on the used car you want, we'll beat it. That's a promise. Shop the largest Ford dealership online 24/7 at sunburymotors.com. Let's stop in and test drive Ford, Lincoln, Hyundai at the North 4th Street Auto Plaza in Sunbury and our Kia dealership at Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And be ready to tackle the largest inventory and our lowest price promise, selling more cars and satisfying more customers since 1915. Sunbury Motors. SunburyMotors.com. The winning team.
Welcome back. Great to have you with us. Baseball Hall of Fame talk next half hour. We got a lot of it to talk about because I think what we said today, I think was ridiculous. I just think it was ridiculous. We've talked about the NHL lockout today. We have Neil Riddell on the show tomorrow. Looking forward to that from the Altoona Mirror. Talk about everything they've seen here in the past few weeks. So we'll have Neil on the show tomorrow. Also, we will have Adam Amin on from ESPN tomorrow. Greg Cosell, NFL Films, on the show Friday. Somebody said to me today when they were talking about our lineup, they said, Greg Cosell, wow, great get. Appreciate that. Very nice of you to say. Because we do think he's a great get. Nobody will break down the NFL weekend better than him. I mean, that's what we're looking forward to. That kind of... And then next week, Tim Brando from CBS. And also, it looks like next week's the week we're going to get PMAC on, which is Patrick McEnroe to the uninitiated. So, that's what we have coming up. And then Jim Delaney before the month is out. Not bad.
It's all right.
No, but
it'll do.
No, but this is what the audience deserves. I mean, the audience, you know, in order to, you know, we have the best audience going. Okay, this station has huge reach.
Harrisburg, Williamsport, Scranton, Wilkes-Barre. You can hear it all the way out in Altoona. Okay? All right? I'm not going to sit there and just ramble on about things when we have the access to bring in some people that people want to hear. I think people want to hear Tim Brando. Now, do we have universal tennis fans all over the place? No, but the Australian Open is the first major of the year. Thus, we'll have Patrick McEnroe on.
It's kind of a big deal.
Right, but no, but I'm saying, though, but is everybody a tennis fan out there? No, but Patrick McEnroe is somebody a lot of people know and can talk about a wide variety of things. We're going to go to the U.S. Open this year at Ardmore. All right? We're going to go to Pocono this year as IndyCar returns back to where it never should have left.
Here.
I mean, but this is what we're doing. Okay, we're taking you where the action is. And that's what the, you know, it's, you know, we can talk. I mean, obviously, when it comes to Penn State football, basketball, I can take you anywhere. I mean, obviously, we have longtime listeners, first time callers like Friday. Still crack up, he said that.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Oh, we are having some fun today. We're having a lot of fun today. We've been talking about the Hall of Fame. Tony Knupp joined us from Los Angeles to talk about some of the disasters he now sees for the National Hockey League. You know, where they're solid as a rock and where they have some big problems. And then Johnny Marks joined us from Philadelphia, who's a host on 93.7 The Fan, the Fanatic in Philadelphia. Johnny just gotten off the air, and we're thrilled he joined us on the show to talk about the coaching search for Philadelphia. What went wrong with Chip Kelly? His first choice was Bill O'Brien, by the way, who is a longtime listener but a first-time caller.
And loves, what is it, Two Splenda?
No, three.
Three Splenda, that's
no,
right.
No, that already knew. Believe me, that was already outlined to me last January.
Three Splenda.
He walks up to me on the practice field last year. This is the 5:30 workouts, okay? He walks up to me last year, he goes, Jonesy. I said, yeah. You're insane. And I said, and you're stable? He goes, that's a good point. You know, I mean, you want to have a good relationship with a coach or whatever. You can kid around a little bit. I can kid around with him. I can kid around with Joe. Believe me, I could kid around with Joe. I know it. No issue at all with that. He and I in 32 years. You want to know how many crosswords Joe Paterno and I had?
None.
Zero. Not one.
That I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Not one. So. And same thing with Ed DeCellis. Never. Bruce, never. Dick Harder never did. Jerry Dunn, absolutely not. One of the nicest men on the face of the earth. Patrick Chambers, none, zero. So, all right, Baseball Hall of Fame. So we've had a fun time today. Been a fun week so far. We've had a lot to talk about all week. We have more to come. We have more guests tomorrow, more guests on Friday, more next week.
And I have Dave on line one for you there, Steve.
Oh. Then we have a problem with our hookup, by the way, Kev, if that's the case.
Yes, I kind of thought so.
Yeah, because I have the screen up and I have no caller there, so my apologies. Dave, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to make you wait.
No,
I'm going to reboot my screen and make sure we can get other people on. Go ahead.
No problem. The deal about the baseball writers... It should all be basically taken out and taught us actually how to really vote, to be truthfully honest. Because, like you said, you were spot on. Those guys, none of those guys were found guilty of anything. And then you got a guy like Ty Cobb that goes out and spikes his, you know, makes his spikes trying to take people out of baseball. Mm-hmm. And he goes in the hall.
Right.
I mean, come on.
Well, look, I mean, these guys all have issues, okay? And I understand that. I mean, Ty Cobb had issues.
Babe Ruth apparently had a slight problem with alcohol.
just a bit.
Mickey Mantle hit a home run. He admits drunk in Washington one day. Okay, fine. I mean, do you want the Mick driving back to the hotel? No. But I look at the way I look at this is that the way I penalize them is this way. As a voter, I do not elect Roger Clemens or Barry Bonds on the first ballot, but I would elect them next year. Now, Clemens, I would have voted this year. And the reason I would have voted Clemens this year was on this principle, okay? At trial, he was found not guilty.
Yeah.
Right? Okay? At trial, he was found not guilty. So, in other words, his case went to a court. They presented evidence. It's not enough. He's not guilty. I would have voted him. Bonds, I would have said a year, because when he went to trial, there was guilt, some guilt found, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So I would wait a year on him. Rafael Palmeiro, I'd wait, and Sammy Sosa, I'd wait 5 years each.
Okay.
And then that would be it. Okay? To me, the penalty would be when I vote them in. I would vote each one of them in. I would vote Pete Rose in now because, as a player, he is accused of doing nothing except playing hard. All of his accusations are post-player as a manager.
Yeah, that looks like that innuendo about Mike Piazza.
But again, it's innuendo, and I think after a while you get innuendo about anybody. I'm sick and tired of everybody snooping into everybody else's business all the time. People, you know, to sit there, I think, oh, you think? Really? Prove it. If you can't prove it, then you got to vote for him. You have to, okay? If you can't prove it,
exactly
I suspect.
It.
You suspect what?
Yeah.
Okay? If you can't prove it, then what's, you know, what do you suspect people of?
And, Steve, I looked at it one way, to be honest. See, he didn't play just for one organization. He bounced around, and there was nothing ever came up. When you go bouncing around, things might tend to fall from the tree, to be honest. The way I look at it, you know.
Well, you talk about Piazza with San Diego, the Marlins, the Mets, the Dodgers. Yeah.
Yeah. So bouncing around. If you train with one team all your life, yeah, you can pretty well show things. But when you're bouncing around, things come up. And there was nothing came up.
No, it was always suspected. But you're like, oh, suspected of what? I mean.
I suspected him hitting a baseball. Okay.
Yeah. After a while, you kind of get sick of, like, you know.
I'll hang up and let you go, Steve.
Yeah. Thanks,
you
Dave.
Know.
And, Kev, I apologize. If we have any calls, you'll have to let me know because my screen is not showing callers coming up.
Okay.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I tried rebooting it, but, you know. And, you know, after a while. I listed a lot of guys today that should be in the Hall of Fame, okay? I would have voted for a lot of people. I would have voted for Clemens because he was found not guilty. You know, look, he went to a court of law. They found him not guilty. Now, is he suspected? Okay. You know, like Andy Pettit. Andy Pettit I would not vote in on the first ballot. Okay, I wouldn't do that, okay? Because he's admitted that he did. But the second time through, Kev, I'd vote him.
Well, you know, I was very much against voting for guys that have been involved in proven allegations. I'll put it that way. However, the more I think about it, the more I'm not apt to not vote him in. And here's my thought process behind that. One, and I mentioned this before, how many things were Hall of Famers involved in and maybe enhancing themselves over the years that are now illegal that never were? Or how many
right.
things are...
Who
are,
knows?
Yeah, exactly.
Nobody knows.
So, all right, set
Jeff
that
Jeff Bagwell, people like to think, he might have,
Right.
Well, I would have voted for Bagwell, and I would have voted for Piazza. I would have voted for Jack Morris. I would have voted for Curt Schilling. I would have voted for Roger Clemens. I would have voted for Tim Raines.
But you know, example. Statistically...
I would have voted for Edgar Martinez.
Oh, there's one, yeah. Statistically, though, Bonds' numbers before any of this happened, before any of the allegations came up, were Hall of Fame worthy already.
Yes, agreed.
So all right, maybe he doesn't get in on the first ballot. All right, for, you know, if you want to punish him for something, punish him for that. But now you have to sit there and go, okay, all things aside, that's somebody that probably does deserve to be there one way or another.
Right.
But I was very much against it for a long, long time. But the more I got to thinking about it, the more I got to looking at some of the numbers, maybe Bonds does belong there.
Well, it's not. I don't think it's a maybe he belongs there. He does belong there. I just, my penalty to him would be simple. All right? My penalty would be him. I'm sorry, I'm not going to give you the honor that I gave to Hank Aaron and Willie Mays.
Okay? But I absolutely hate the writers that come out later on and say, well, I didn't vote for so-and-so because it was his first year, and I think you need to wait a little bit. No. If you deserve to be there, you deserve to be there in year one or year 20. It doesn't matter.
There's no difference. You're either a Hall of Famer in 2013 or you're a Hall of Famer 2014. I mean, right. Nothing. Your qualifications didn't change. Your qualifications are no different in 2016 than they are in 2013. They just aren't. Simple as that. That's why I find comical about that. But to me, you use the first ballot Hall of Fame thing. I think you use that as a specific honor or to penalize. In this case, I would use it to penalize. Okay, I would penalize Barry Bonds, Sammy Sosa, Rafael Palmeiro. See, I by now I'd vote for McGuire. After a while, I think you penalize people enough. I mean, my goodness. I mean, people who commit crimes afoul of the law are also eventually let out. Okay? These are not crimes of law. All right? Yeah, at some point, you have to let these people and look at what they did, their body of work. I mean, these guys played 20 years. What, they cheated every day for 20 years?
If you don't have the Baseball Writers Association of America voting for this, or
first of all,
exclusively, who does?
Can I start with something?
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
Vin Scully does not have a vote.
Yeah, that's wrong.
Because he is not a member of the Baseball Writers Association of America. He's a broadcaster. You're going to tell me that Vin Scully doesn't know more about baseball than some of the guys that are voting?
I mean, I understand not having fans vote because then it becomes a popularity contest.
No. Look, fans shouldn't vote for anything, okay? All right? When it comes to something of this level. I mean, voting for an All-Star game is harmless, all right? Okay? But the All-Star game vote shows you how totally irresponsible fan votes are. Okay? I voted 25 times. No, you vote once, dude. All right? You vote one time. Fun things like, hey, name the all-time Beaver Stadium team for Penn State. Yeah, let the fans vote all they want for that. But when it comes to a Hall of Fame, when it comes to all-league, all-conference, all-American, Heisman Trophy, Wooden Award, things like that, and you have to have people that are around it every single day. They're the ones that have to vote on it and have a level of objectivity to them. Now, we all have our prejudices, okay? There's no question about that. I may lobby harder on a Curt Schilling, but I think I do it with justification, even as a Red Sox fan, because I look at his total body of work in Philadelphia, Arizona, and the Red Sox. When you know, the guy won over 200 games in his career, but he was 11-2 in the postseason. Right, and pitched great in the postseason. What he did with Arizona with Randy Johnson was phenomenal. Okay? Tim Raines, okay? I'm no Expos fan, but Tim Raines was a force. Mike Piazza. The three greatest offensive catchers in the history of this game.
okay, that you would want Johnny Bench, Yogi Berra, Mike Piazza. Jack Morris. Tigers Twins. Postseason 84, postseason 91. I mean, this is what you're talking about. These guys are phenomenal. Okay, Jeff Bagwell, Craig Biggio, they were the 1-2 punch in Houston for years that kept them competitive every day. Biggio's accused of nothing. He had 3,000 hits. He has more doubles than Hank Aaron.
No. He shouldn't be a first ballot guy. Oh, for crying out. What, his credentials will be better next year? Really?
He'll look better in another year.
I mean, this is what you're dealing with. So I would use the first ballot part or the year I vote on somebody. That would be my penalty. Okay, Barry Bonds, my penalty is I'll vote you next year. Okay, keeping you out 1 year is my penalty. Okay? But he deserves to be in. I don't care what anybody says. He deserves to be in. You want to call him disputed? Fine. Tell me, dispute why Barry Bonds should not be in. Dispute why Pete Rose should not be in. Dispute why Roger Clemens should not be in. Okay? We can argue about McGuire's batting average or whatever. It's amazing. In 98, Andro, the substance he's accused of taking, was not on the banned list. It was there open in the locker. Media saw it. They talked about it. I mean, don't go all two-faced on everybody and don't act like, you know, believe me, I've seen some of these guys on the road. Believe me.
How do you respond to the people who say that he cheated?
Well, I don't want people to cheat, but at the same time, every day.
And we have
no idea whether it made a difference.
But by using a banned substance or a substance that was banned or found to be banned, wouldn't that be considered cheating?
Yes, but I would wait to put them in the Hall of Fame. That's my penalty to them. Rafi Palmeiro and Sammy Sosa, I'd wait 5 years. But eventually I'd vote for them to go in. I mean, cheat every single day, for goodness sake. I mean, it's kind of hard to do. I mean, I think you'd be a wreck.
How about all those guys that threw shine balls for so many years as a pitcher?
Hey, Gaylord Perry's in the Hall of Fame. Oh, yeah, isn't it funny how he used to throw spitballs? It's illegal. You do know that. I mean, Dave made the point about Ty Cobb spiking people. I mean, that's dirty. Okay? Pepper Martin was a dirty player. He's in the Hall of Fame. Ty Cobb was a dirty player. He's in the Hall of Fame. I'd vote Shoeless Joe Jackson in. Went to trial, found not guilty. I mean, doesn't that mean anything?
No, that one, you're absolutely right there. No argument there. There was nobody found guilty there, and it just happened afterwards because the commissioner was put in place by the owners who were ticked off.
I mean, after a while. After a while, it gets, you know, Barry Bonds is not the most popular guy. I got it. Okay. Neither is Roger Clemens. I'd still vote him in. I don't really, it's not a popularity contest. I watch both of them play. They're great players. Bonds is a five-tool guy. Bonds was winning MVPs in Pittsburgh. Okay? He's winning MVPs in Pittsburgh, where he's accused of none of this, correct? He won the MVP 7 times. He should be in. I mean, imagine a sport, your all-time leader in two of the most significant categories that you have aren't in.
Huh? And a 7-time Cy Young Award winner. Not in. Wow. So all these same guys that voted for Bonds for MVP now are voting him for the Hall of Fame. We'll wrap it up on News Radio 1070 WKOK after this.
Of course, if the umps are watching me close, I just rub a little jalapeno inside my nose, get it running, and if I need to load the ball up a little, just wipe my nose.
You put snot on the ball?
I haven't got an arm like yours. I got to put anything on it I can find.
Yeah, Harris. Yeah. Setting a holy war out here, Harris.
You know, the whole time we were talking about that, that's all that was running through my head. You put snot on the ball?
Yeah. Ted Roof leaving Penn State to become the defensive coordinator at Georgia Tech. That's his alma mater. And John Butler is going to be the new defensive coordinator. So, and John will do a great job. I mean, John's ready for this moment. So John's one of those young coaches where should it be his time? It really is his time. But Ted Roof has been named the defensive coordinator at Georgia Tech. And after watching Georgia Tech this season, they need Ted Roof very much. So, yeah. But that's his alma mater. Look, I mean, you know, Ted was, you're talking about a guy who played for Bill Curry at Georgia Tech, co-captain, first team All-ACC guy down there. Yeah, so he's just going back to where he was. And Ted was great to be around up here. I really like him a lot. I really grew to respect him tremendously. So, you know, I'm happy for him. I mean, it'll work out fine. And his wife, Pam, and his two boys, I tell you, the schools are going to miss his kids. I can tell you that because they can play ball. So somebody asked me one time, what was the key to State College show? Winning the state championship in basketball. I said, well, the fact that Joe hired Brian Norwood.
I knew State College was good last year for a reason.
So,
it's all because of who they hire at Penn State. Now I follow.
What, you don't think the football team was okay when Tony and Larry Johnson were there?
That's a good point, but I only saw the basketball team last year.
Well, the Norwoods are for four. Penn State won the championship in 2003, but I mean, all right, great day. We'll talk to you tomorrow.